It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Talking to our good friend, Mr. James Corbett. James, I wanted to make sure we'd started right off. There's so many things going on, but I just want to highlight for the audience what we're going to do because there's a bunch I want to pack in. Now, the WHO has a plan to have a plan. You know, they were supposed to have 4 months notice that we put something in, they put something in, amendments too, we get to talk about it. And then they said, but we want to do it at the last minute. And we say we can because I reread this rule here. I mean, they're really doing some mental gymnastics on that. But why? There's something coming. And I'm just like, why are they even there? Why do I give a crap whether they rule me right or not? You know, a lot of these guys, they're doing it wrong. They shouldn't be doing it, you know? So we're going to talk about that a little bit because I think that's something that's going to be a common. It's going to be winter. It's going to be flu season. There's going to be all kinds of consternation and, you know, controversy and, ooh, we got it. Somebody's got a plan. You got to have a plan, a mandate of whatever their plan is, what that plan better be. And then, oh, we don't tax people. You know, the countries do. And then, you know, here we go. This is like, man, you want to see, you can see it coming. You know, so James will be able to hook us up with that knowledge. Then he did a spot on comment trolls and on your sites and the trolling areas, like comment sections and so on videos and such like that. Now we dealt with it, you know, a different way. It doesn't matter, but mainly not engaging, you know, but that is a thing. And if you don't have an audience that is there ready to pounce on them, you know, it doesn't work because they will always find you. And James is a project. I guarantee it. So that was, once it got to about 220 on our Telegram, I made it clear to the audience, you know, we did it slow, it was from our regular subscribers. And I go, I need you guys to help me police. I need you guys to, you know, get all the scammers, out all the trolls, you know, just get it done. And it's been pretty good. The audience, you can take care of business. And then James gave a lot of really good tips. We'll talk about that real quick. Then we got Ukraine thing going on, can't get enough money, need more money, and Israel. Okay, here comes Hamas, which was a freaking, you know, Israeli thing to create the counter Arafat, and, you know, it's just a thing. You know, they were a creation of them. It's just like, what was it, ISIS or something you did, the CIA thing? I mean, same kind of crap. And now we got to deal with this. And then, you know, well, which side are you on? How about me? I mean, how about America? How about I don't care? How about that? Okay. Well, you're not allowed to think that, so we'll talk about that. And then there was a few days ago, last time that we talked, another thing is what we originally planned to do, and I want to make sure we hit on a little bit, you know, did a little reading and so on, is the solution to this and how do you organize? Is it yourself? Are you lone wolf? And what does that mean? Your community, intentional community, unintentional community, you're walking the perimeter with your rifle, you know, the hours of the, you know, bell tolls or whatever. I want to make sure that we talk about what the strategy might be because it's going to be needed, okay? I mean, we're like, you know, we're putting a bunch of stuff up, Freeman's Phoenix, like how to tie a knot, how to start a fire, how to, because there was a meme that came out recently. It was awesome. It goes, when, you know, existential asteroid hits or the EMF goes off or whatever the heck happens, which has happened throughout humans been on this planet history, you know, Noah's flood or something like that. You know, the people that, you know, knew how to grow food, build shelter, do whatever, they, all right, water's down, they start all over, and here we go again, okay? We're fine. If that happens now, we're all going to die. I mean, you know, well, the people that know how to do it are going to be okay, but there's going to be a whole bunch of people, feed me, Seymour, you know, so I'm just like, you know, we'll talk about that. Humanity will keep marching on, but I don't think it's going to be the elites. They don't know how to, they don't know how to start a fire. So which one you want to go through? We got the who, you know, the comment trolls, lone wolf versus collective, you know, comrades of NARBs or something, Israel and Ukraine, and then the one final thing I wanted to kind of wrap it all up in at the end. We did a Freedom's Phoenix Dispatch. It had so much stuff, and I recognized it was like, you know, all this illness, all this threat, and who, and oh my God, we're all going to die. Then it was war, 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 war. Then it's food, 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 famine, 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 and death. It's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. It's war, pestilence, famine, and death. And I go, holy crap. So I made that the, you know, headline, and we need some positive thinking here. James Corbett, help me out.
Woo!
I know.
All right. I'm happy to go in that exact order that you were stating there, if you want to tackle it that way.
Yeah, what would we start off with? The who?
We'll start with the who. For people who don't know, and I hope at least this much, the World Health Organization, UNAG, steward of, at that time, essentially the bilateral series of bilateral agreements that every country had with every other country about quarantine and procedures to deal with whatever, where the mumps and rubella or whatever was going around at the time. Of course, that has expanded in the years since. So now the World Health Organization, of course, is the de facto world governing health body that presumes to rule over and dictate our medical reality and disreality, disinformation, as evidenced by the fact that, of course, one of the things that GooTube cites when they take down channels like the Corbett Report is, oh, you're peddling misinformation, and it goes against WHO guidelines and directives and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm sure people know about that by now, but just in case they don't know, the WHO is the World Health Organization, and they are currently engaged in a two-track
which
process.
Which is United Nations,
one of which,
by the way.
As I said, United Nations agency created in 1948. Right. They're engaged in a two-track process right now. And one of those tracks, people have probably heard about in this audience, the Pandemic Treaty, so-called. They're calling it a convention agreement or other instrument. And as I've gone over in the past, that's, I think, to get around the legalese of the treaty. No. Treaty has to be approved by the U.S. Senate and signed off by the president, and there's constitutional things that come in many countries. No. This is a convention or agreement or other instrument, right? Anyway, people have heard about that. People have not heard so much about the IHR amendments. The IHR are the International Health Regulations that have been passed in various forms over the decades. The most recent update came in 2005, was approved in 2006, and that was the update that brought with it the Public Health Emergency of International Concern, the PHEIC, which I would pronounce fake, right? Which is what was declared for the first time ever with the swine flu scare of 2009. Remember that? People are going to die. Actually, it turned out to be a less deadly than usual flu season, but they had pulled the trigger on this PHEIC, which does a number of things, including granting WHO the ability, as some have even pointed out, there was a Newsweek writer back in 2014 pointing out that the PHEIC gives the WHO the power even so much as to essentially bring in troops on the ground, NATO troops, into countries that aren't cooperating with their quarantine and procedures, etc. At least that's one way it could be interpreted. But they're trying to amend those international health regulations to make them even stronger and give the WHO even more power. Power, for example, power of censorship and obligating member states to control misinformation on social media, etc. But perhaps more to the point, bringing in digital health certificates, aka the vaccine passports, that are going to be the linchpin of the digital
ID
and cyber grid.
This was just a mechanism to get into world governance.
Absolutely.
You know, this is it. Yes. We're going
to
do...
It is one of the ways in, and it's a nice back door for them to bring in all of the digital ID infrastructure and to put it in everyone's pockets.
Well, if you're going to travel internationally,
you need the global digital health certificate. And if you have the digital health certificate, well, you're going to have digital ID to play along with that. So it is a back door to this world government agenda. And here's the thing. So what we were talking about the other day, people can go watch it, but essentially... The IHR, Article 55 of those regulations, as they exist, mandates that if any amendments are to be submitted for review by the World Health Assembly, the WHO General Assembly body, if they are going to review any amendments, those amendments have to be submitted in writing, in black and white, 4 months before they are to be voted on or looked at. And so they really want to do this at the next World Health Assembly in May 2024 in Geneva. For whatever reason, they're guns blazing. We're going to do this pandemic treaty / IHR amendments May 2024. Put it on your calendar for whatever reason. But the working group that's working on these amendments came and said, it looks like we're not going to be able to do that. There's so many proposals and we're negotiating the text and blah, blah, blah. It's not going to be ready for January as we are legally obligated to do under the terms of this regulation. So can we pretty please have an extension? And the WHO legal counsel said, yeah, I think that's all right because, you know, this is blah, blah, legalese this, legalese that.
Oh, he really and stretched so, it.
Yeah, exactly. And then the latest press release from the WHO, yep, okay, you guys can continue working on this right up to the doorstep of May 2024 so that you can spring these amendments
exactly.
on the public. No one has a chance to see or vet them beforehand. They're going to be gaveled down, as has happened in the past with these IHR amendments, which have happened in the past. They don't even, there's not even like a vote or a formal procedure. It's just kind of, anyone got anything to say? No? Okay, passed. That is how this is done, and that's how it's going to be done. So we won't even get a chance to see it until it's essentially rule of law, and these global digital health certificates or whatever else will be contained in them are just sprung on us all of a sudden.
Because and
people should be about this, but no one is paying attention to this.
Okay, this is the one comment. I think whenever we say World Health Organization, the UN needs to be thrown in there because a lot of people don't know that. Yep. And this is not World Health Organization like the government. Uncle Sam wants to fluoridate you because they love your teeth. Okay. You know, this is like World Health. Oh, no, we want to take care of your health care because we love your health. They don't give a crap. You know,
exactly.
It's just a mechanism. Yep. So this is
global government by the back door organization.
It's not
and
even back
here's
door.
The thing. So what do we do about this? And there are the people who are talking about, oh, you know, write your congressman or tell your senator, blah, blah, blah. Okay, great. Do that if you think it's going to do anything. I'm not going to stop you. But the real solution to this is going to be complete withdrawal from the WHO.
Right.
Every member state has to withdraw from that organization. And
Trump
as you point
him.
Out, WHO is only a subset of the UN. So really, at the end of the day, you're going to have to pull out of the UN as well. And this isn't even something that's on the radar of anybody out there in terms of, you know, real politics and what have you. Show me the candidate that's talking about this. There are some, there's now an exit the WHO movement that's gaining some traction in the U.S. Congress.
Okay,
yay.
Come on, James. But give Trump some props. Didn't he defund the WHO or something?
Did you ever see the follow-up to that? He defunded the WHO and then put that money straight into Gavi. And we know what Gavi is, right? It's the Global Vaccine Alliance that was set up with Bill and Melinda Gates, of course. Specifically, in its about section on its website, you can read it is set up specifically to create a healthy market for vaccine manufacturers. That's what Gavi is. So thank you, President Trump. You stuck it to the globalists there, didn't you? More nonsense.
Okay, man, we could go on about that. The one thing I wanted to get your comment on is I watched the video with you. You were kind of quiet. You let them, you know, get all their steam out and everything about, you know, whatever's going on. And the whole time I'm thinking, one, they need to say United Nations a hell of a lot more. Okay, this is a global thing. And it's just, like you say, the back door. But I wanted to, you know, make sure that, you know, the argument and, you know, all way I got any hint of this is from you was that who the hell are they? What do I give a crap what they say? How am I underneath? I'm not under. I didn't sign or pledge allegiance to the whatever. The kind of, you know, kiss my butt. I don't freaking care. And you can see it coming because in state-to-state legislation, they have at the county level, the state level, I've been exposed to this all over the country, that they put their health recommendations, who gets deplatformed, who doesn't, who gets to go someplace, do something, kind of be somebody, is all, or work there, or whatever, is that their decisions will be based on whatever recommendations from the WHO, from the UN, and the CDC. And the CDC and the WHO, they get all kinds of locking arms, and they're just going to tell you what's up. And your local county in the middle of Arkansas, who gives a crap, is going to be managed by a World Health Organization. FYI, not a good thing, you know, in my opinion. So we can get on that. Any comment on that?
So let's extend it out. Yeah, you have to exit the WHO, which means you should exit the UN. But that also means, really, you should be exiting your national government, which, of course, is going to go with along with all of this. And then if you're going to exit the national government, you have to exit the state government, because the state government's just following all the mandates from the CDC, which is following all the mandates from the WHO. So really, ultimately, the only solution is freedom, individual sovereignty. Imagine that.
It's getting easier and easier to make the case, man. It's getting a little bit too easy. All right. So the next one was invasion of the comment section, you know, kind of a thing. And what they do on some of our comment sections is the guys are diligent about it. They have fun with it. You know, oh, man, I made a gazillion dollars on my crypto of whatever, and it's the bestest thing. And they go, really? Tell me more. Oh, man, I'm ready. You know, I've been hearing about this crypto thing. Give me what for, you know? So then they come in and they you know, kind of string them on for, and then they bat them around, have fun. But I go, do this offline or do it in the chat. You know, I don't give a crap. Yeah. But they're pretty good about it. But that was early on. I prepared them. I'm saying, look, we're going to get invaded. So now I know there's hundreds, you know, of people out there just sitting, waiting, looking at that doesn't work. And they'll drop in and try and distract or drop in and get people yakking and drop in. So that's why we had the chat, because Declare Your Independence Telegram with Ernest Hancock. And RFK Jr., that's his campaign, Declare Your Independence. Ha, 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 ha. But anyway, so we'll talk about that a little bit. But the trolls coming in, the comments, they early on, we talked about how you can spot them and waste their time. But then they go off and they wait until there's a war. They wait until there's a right time. They wait until you get your 100,000 subscriber or something like that. They wait until you hit your millionth. They wait, and then all of a sudden, boom, they'll just clear up, make all kinds of noise, and then you got to filter through them again. So what was your solution? I watched your thing acknowledging, you know, this issue and how to identify, maybe play with them a little bit. Did you have a solution you want to recommend to the audience?
Yes, I would hope people will watch this episode specifically. What's it called?
A Gentleman's Spies, Guide Trolls, to Trolls, Bots, Sea Lions, Forum Spies, and Other Pests. That's right.
Thank you. Yes, that there. One. I hope people will watch it in its entirety all the way to the end, because, yes, the real solution, I think, comes at the end. So you've got to stick all the way through it. But it's actually quite similar to the WHO story. Yeah, okay, so we should be advocating for the WHO to have a different process or to allow us to see the amendments before they gavel them down, blah, blah, blah. No, we should be telling people your individual health sovereignty is yours. No one can take it away. You have to declare your sovereignty from the WHO and the UN and your government and everyone else, right? Well, in this case, the real solutions, and one of the things I go through is this gentle person's guide to the forum spies, which is this text that I think has been floating around the internet for decades and has taken various forms, and different people, you know, put it different ways. I look at this example that was posted on cryptome.org back in 2012 by John Young. But anyway, it just shows you some of the tactics and techniques that these forum spies use, techniques of manipulation and distraction and getting people to argue and what have you. Okay, good enough. And once you identify that and you can see it when it's happening, and you call it out, I think that is an important step to a solution to that problem. Because when a forum spy, a disruptor, is called out, there's not much they can do other than switch to another one of their probably endless alt accounts, right, and then start arguing all over again. But okay, so in that regard, you might say that the argument then is, like you say, just get the audience ready for this and tell them, you know, you're going to have to battle with these foreign spies and call them out and what have you. Yeah, okay, that's true. But it seems to me the true problem here is if people are dwelling on the comments, if the comment section is shaping people's opinions of things, you've already lost. Because I think really the mental cognitive sovereignty is something that is clearly, this is a war for your mind, literally.
Yeah.
And so everyone's trying to get into your mind and make you see things and shape your reality, shape your perception, shape the way that you approach things. And the more that we allow that into our skull, the more we've already lost, regardless of whether it's a forum spy or some well-meaning person who genuinely believes what they're saying. At any rate, if your mind is not your own, whose is it? And so at the very end of this episode, I do talk about, hey, I would suggest people just try as an experiment, just for 1 week, can you watch videos or read articles or do things online, interact in social media without reading the comments? Just don't scroll to the comments. Just for 1 week, just see if you can come up with what is my response to what I am seeing, regardless of what anyone else is seeing, and see if you can regain some of your cognitive sovereignty. And I say this because I did this myself several months ago. I found, like everyone else, I'm sure, just mindlessly, when you're listening to a podcast or watching a video, you'll scroll down, you'll look at the comments, even as you are watching or listening to something. And sometimes you won't even listen to the whole thing. You'll just read the comments and scroll out. And I said, well, okay, I shouldn't do that. So how about for 1 week, I'll just try. I will not look at a single comment. And it truly did. I noticed the change of, oh, I have to come up with my own interpretation of what I'm hearing. What is important? What isn't important? What are the flaws in this argument? What things do I support? The more that we can put of ourselves into actually making sense of our own world, I would say is the better, all to the better. So as a special thing for this, I never censor comment sections because I think that's self-defeating, etc.
Right.
But for this particular episode, I said, I'm turning off the comments. So I turned off the comments everywhere I could. For those platforms that I can't turn off the comments, I'm just deleting every single comment as it comes in, just to make the point of, well, how do you individually respond to this without all of those voices in your ear telling you what to think about it?
Okay. I'll do you a little treat here. I'm going to put Donna on. She's a comment reader. Okay.
Yeah.
And I just want to know. Well, so I asked her why, what? All right, I'm going to let her defend herself. Go ahead. What is the common allure?
Entertainment. That's it. Entertainment. It just gives you kind of a bellwether of what people are thinking, good or bad.
Yeah. But here's the question. Does it? I mean, how many of those comments are real human beings authentically expressing their real opinions? And how much of it has been designed specifically for the entertainment readers who just want to see what people are thinking? Oh, this is what people are thinking.
But yeah,
oh,
exactly.
I saw 100 comments saying this thing.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. You read the article? Nah, just comments. Do you even read the article?
Fair enough. I get it. For entertainment purposes, etc.
But it doesn't influence me in any way. It's entertainment for me. It's entertainment.
Well, thank you, Donna. But I think you know, I can see, because it is entertaining, some of them she'll show me and stuff, but I just see even that entertainment, even that interaction changes you, you know, it directs your thoughts. It, you know, gets you to think, you know, what do you think about this? And I'm going, well, I wasn't thinking about it, but I guess now I'm thinking about it. They go, you know, now stop thinking about boats. You stop thinking about boats, big boats, sailboats, steamboats. Stop thinking about boats, you know? So you're thinking about boats.
Or more to the point, hey, you see this whole podcast and video about the WHO? Well, let me tell you about the Jews.
Right.
And then that's all the comment section becomes, right?
So this is, you know, I can see why you did. I was wondering what you thought the message was you were trying to give. You know, what you're trying to relay to be able to spot it, to combat it, to ignore it, to the comment section, don't care.
You know what? I'm not saying that the comments have no purpose and everyone should avoid them for all time. Actually, I wouldn't mind if people did. But I would say just for the Donnas in the world, I would just say as a little test, just for 1 week, just avoid the comments and come up with your own ideas. And hey, journal it if you want to. Write your own comments on pen and paper. But at any rate, see how it affects. Because I know it's very tempting to say it doesn't affect me in any way, shape, or form. But I think it does.
Of course it does.
I think it does on levels that you might not be cognitively, consciously aware of.
Yeah, but, you know, you're never a prophet in your own land, so I just give it up. Anyway, so then...
True. Very true. Ukraine... I'm just the guy who didn't take out the garbage this morning.
Right. And, yeah. So this is... I wanted to get to the lone wolf versus intentional community thing, but I did want to... Do you want to do Ukraine, Israel, and the forever all wars first or last?
Let's do it first so that we have time for the lone wolf conversation. But yeah, I mean, World War III might be an important thing to talk about, I guess.
Might as well, kind of a little something. All right. This is, I've kind of been surprised, Palestine, Gaza, you know, the occupied, whatever, has been as quiet as it has been. During my adult life, ever since I was a kid, they never went more than a couple of years without something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been kind of, you know, quiet in the Mid-Eastern front here, you know? So, but it didn't surprise me one freaking bit in the light of all the crap that's going on. It's like they want Armageddon, literally. You know, this is, they're looking to, you know, foster up something. So the timing of it, Ukraine, are they both going to get – here we got Biden up. You know, he wants – you know, oh, we need $100 billion more to something. I'm getting a little light in, you know, my pocket. So this is – the timing of it, what do you think the real – and the first thing that dies is the truth. That's the first thing. So we have a lot of stories up, a lot of things that are sent me. You know, I kind of scan them, whatever. People, whenever this kind of dust up happens, we, you know, publish their stuff. You know, pro-Israel, you know, Israel, pro-Palestine, Palestine never did nothing, nobody, you know, kind of thing. So we have both sides, and of course I get it from both. You're not doing it right, you know, I'm going, I don't care. Yeah. You read it, don't read it, I don't give a crap. But you need to know what everybody's saying. This side and the war party and the neocons of the left and the right, they're all the same. You know, they're saying and doing this. These guys are saying and doing this. Iran's saying and doing this. You know, Obama gave them the money so they could whatever. Then they're going to, you know, or Biden did, or well, they both did. Or that. I don't care. You know, am I allowed not to care? Whenever Israel, the third rail, Israel came up on the show, I go, my first question, am I allowed not to care? I just want to know if I'm allowed not to care.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, you have to think this about
that.
That
is, in some ways, that's the most heretical position, isn't it, these days? Because, yeah, why, as an American living in America, should you care? Or should your opinion even matter to anyone?
Because you have a responsibility.
Right? Why should it?
Because you're rich.
No, you have to have a side on this. You have to have a firm opinion. And yeah, it's one of those topics, right?
Yeah, I just wondered, you know, where do they put the Israeli tattoo on their face after their Ukraine one? Do they
they're running out of space.
Yeah, I mean, you know, run out of logo sponsor space on Antifa tooties. You know, it's so bad. So how do they get that fervor? You know, you had the left supporting a war in Ukraine when the left usually is supposed to be against war. Excuse me, against war. And now you have Israel. How do you...
Well, exactly like Ukraine. Yay, war. When it's, you know, the right kind of war. Okay, so how do they do it? They do it by, as we've been told, by all sides in the past few days, it's Israel's 9/11. And I, you know what? I'll say, okay, I think it is Israel's 9/11. I don't think it's in the sense that they're saying it, because they're saying, you know, never forget and, you know, all that. But I'm saying, yeah, no, it does seem a lot
like 9/11.
Sounds
like an inside job to me.
Yeah, there's nothing about this makes sense, and I don't believe anything that I'm hearing about it right now. We'll see what we can verify when all this dust is settled, if it does settle, or if it's just bombed to smithereens, maybe the other question. But clearly, what is the military strategy involved here?
No idea.
By Hamas. And wait, who created Hamas and fostered them and helped them along in the
Israel.
First place? Oh, right, Israel, of course. So... You know, there's so many eerie parallels to the 9/11 analogy.
You know, we had that up. It was the lead story on the Morning Dispatch this morning. It was a speech by Ron Paul to where he said, you know, he just said what was up with the Hamas. This is back in 2006 or something. He goes, look, Israel created Hamas to be the moderate guys to deal with, to kind of replace Yasser Arafat, and they controlled.
No, to be the crazies to deal with that would to drain away the support from Arafat. But then, oh my God, the crazies got out of
control. As more radical? Yeah. Oh, I thought it was the other way.
I just saw a headline, and it was an op-ed piece. I think it was in the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal from like 1989, something like that. It was like, the answer to the PLO, fundamentalists. Yeah, we need, we need a group of crazies out there that are siphoning off the board.
Wow. Okay, so then they created them, used them, got out of hand. Now it's Iran kind of reconstituted, helped, funded, did something. Now, you know, here you go. It's when you start doing all this crap. It's just,
Oh my God, they got in with their homemade paragliders. Like, again, it's such a weird story. And then the of course, we've already seen the atrocity propaganda, the beheaded babies, right?
Yeah.
Babies. Oh, wait, actually, no one's verified that story. And oh, actually, yeah, it's being told by one of the settlers.
That was babies out of incubator kind of crap, you know? And
yeah, I'm just wondering, is that babies out of incubators 2.0 or babies on bayonets 2.0? Maybe both.
Yeah, it all blends, you know? This is, they got a new one. This, you know, what really got me, James, was after 9/11 started to die down, about 04-05 around in there, and they weren't, some economy stuff was starting to poke its head up, and they needed some new material. So the U.S. government hired science fiction writers to come into the intelligence community and scenario them up some threat thing that they should be worried about kind of deal, you know, so they could have a new script. They're not intelligent enough to make up their own script, you know?
People think you're joking about that. We should dig up the receipts on that, but you're 100%.
Yeah, no, it was, we have it on Freedom's Phoenix Archives, so suck it, okay? Yeah. So they keep trying to delete all this stuff. You know, and that was one of the things that I had. We got time. I want to do the Four Horsemen thing. It seems that the reason that it made it in the Bible, because that's what happens and it's true and it's repetitive and you can count on it, you know, is that it's almost like a Machiavellian technique. You know, it's this is how you do it. And it was, I think the first one's war, then pestilence, then famine, and death. And then the pale white horse, I think that's death, right? So I just remembered that. I was, looking at all this stuff. Like, God, it's war and famine and pestilence and, and death and dying and destruction and taxation, So I went, oh, my God, it's the Four Horsemen as a technique, as a psyop, as a fear-mongering, sure you get mind-conditioned to whatever the heck they want. So
look, that doesn't even have
biblical,
to be
biblical, man.
Right. No, I agree. But I don't think it even has to be conscious. I mean, it could be part of a conscious plan. But these are just the fundamental things that humanity has always been concerned with. Famine and plague and pestilence and war. These are the things we have always dealt with. That
Which is why they use
through
them.
History and kill off millions of people at a time. So this is, playing on the fundamental existential fears of humanity.
Right. And when they start doing that, here it comes. And then they add, there was always some supernatural thing, of whatever. But then they add, on top of it, the frosting. And at the end, they're going to have to what? What are they going to bring out, James? Come on.
Jericho missile?
The aliens! The aliens!
Oh, right. Yeah. At the end, right.
Definitely got to bring out the aliens. So, it was amazing how that didn't work. They really amped that one up. And I'm just going, really? And everybody, it was amazing to see a bunch of guys. I watched a YouTube short, or you went through a series of them. They have a few of them that were kind of the same. And it was, black guys in the hood go, we don't give a crap about your aliens. We know what you're doing. It was awesome, They were just beating back big time. So now let's get into, now that we got death, dying, and destruction out of the way, the response to this, as we ended last week, said we, take a look at it, has been, is it, you go lone wolf? Are you looking for a tribe, to pledge allegiance to? Are you looking for a fundamentalist Waco church or something? Or are you out in the lone prairie? You're looking for small town? I mean, it was basically kind of the bifurcated. I wanted to talk about the lone wolf, by yourself or family or a small family group or something. You're like Amish with AR-15s or something. And the intentional, more the militia type, which I've known both. I definitely, during all of my activism, there's always those militia guys, and you guaranteed any group over more than five, there's a Fed in there somewhere, okay? That's just, yeah. That's just the way it is. So what do you think is – you can't. My idea has been you can't infiltrate a militia of one. You just – you can't. So me, I, that doesn't mean I'm isolated, but I'm not, you know, filling out your forms of how much goodies I got or something to put in to the pot of the regiment of who gives a crap, you know? So anyway, what's your thoughts on that?
You know, it's a good question. And I think it brings up the fundamental question of what really your vision of what you're trying to do is. Because, yeah, certainly you're not going to infiltrate a militia of one, but a militia of one is not going to affect some sort of, you know, revolution that's going to change the entire country. But, That's kind of the point that they play on, because of course when people start banding together in militias and doing the training in the woods and you know acting like Rambo, you know what essentially they're trying to do is fill out that Hollywood script of, you know, we're going to overthrow the government in some spectacular, glorious, bloody revolution and blah blah blah, and that's the kind of thing that there are unfortunately a lot of easy dupable patsies who will go along with that, but then as you say, most of the rest will be just the feds who are in there trying to bring it about because they know how to control that and they know what to do with that. And that's the kind of thing that they can easily use to scare the general public. Hey, look at these scary guys training in the woods to go overthrow the government. It's a good thing we went in and nabbed them and everyone else associated with them and people that we just say were associated with them and anyone looking like they might try to do something like that in the future and blah, 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 blah. And that sells well with the public. I remember to this day, I remember, and I must have been like 10 years old at the time or something, but I remember Donahue having on those militia guys, those scary Michigan militia guys, and this was probably in the wake of Ridge but before Waco, somewhere in that time frame, I don't know, but I remember that, and I remember the indoctrination. I remember even joking around with my brothers, oh, you must be like Michigan militia crazy guy or something. Like, we used to joke about that because it was so thoroughly embedded in the public consciousness that those are the crazy wackos. So what's the other solution? What's the other vision? And I would say the lone wolf vision for a solution is not that kind of spectacular, bloody, glorious revolution. We're going to go guns blazing and, you know, kill people and somehow make everything better again. It's quite the opposite. It's the idea of, okay, not that I am a one individual isolated island who can live, you know, in the woods for years at a time completely by myself, but no, that I just choose and pick and I agree to collaborate and work with this person, this transaction, or on this project, but doesn't mean I'm wedded to the hip with them. And in some ways, this goes to my sort of way I operate at the Corbett Report in the media space, because people have always, throughout the history of my website, has always been saying, why don't you guys just all get together on one website, and then I can just go to that one website for all my news and information. And it's funny, I always want to ask, who's you guys? Because your you guys is going to be different than that person's you guys is going to be different than that person's you guys. If only we had some sort of technology that would enable it so that you could choose, I'm going to follow this guy and this guy and this guy, and you can subscribe to their RSS feeds and there's no third party middleman. This is the fun stuff that people have a hard time wrapping their brain around. The Rambo idea, I'm going to go in with guns blazing and kill people. People at least understand that because they've seen that in the movies a million times. But the idea of, no, you as an individual sovereign human being, you get to just choose. Oh, I'm interested in following this guy. I'm interested in talking to this guy. I'm interested in collaborating with that guy. No. That's crazy. That's not a plan that'll ever work. So I think we have to interrogate the fundamental assumption of what people are looking for as their vision of solution. Because a lot of people, I think, are hung up on a false vision that's been fed to them by the Hollywood marketeers.
Well, I've talked to, you know, of course, I interview a lot of people, and, you know, that's kind of what I do. I rant a lot, and I'll, you know, yak and yak and yak, but, you know, it's always on a subject to somebody else that knows something about something. And all of these people that I interview, they're either gone, totally decentralized, and we're just, you know, everybody needs, we don't need nothing, or they're wanting to fix it. It needs to be fixed. If everybody knew, now some people are like, if everybody knew this kind of stuff, they would understand that it can't be fixed. It's not, it's fixed. All right. So it's all general public opinion thing. I can see that's where the bad, that's where your efforts are, bear the most fruit. If you think you're going to change them, who do you go after? They're just insulation for they, them, those. That's way deep in the center core of whatever the heck is going on. So it's not them.
They, them, those isn't a them. They, them, those is an it. It is an ideology. And you can't kill the ideology. You can't go and, you know, line it up against a wall and shoot it, because a million people would happily jump into the vacated spots in the power structure that you've just created there. The power structure itself is the problem.
Greatest superstition, government, you know, Larkin Rose kind of thing. You know, I talked to Mark Passio this morning, and he was kind of on the same bit. He has an event coming on a week or two in Philadelphia. And his whole thing is 12 hours. He's going to go all David Icke on him, you know. 12 hours of you need to understand the evilness of the evil occult, evil of the bad guys. And I'm going, and I always do this. Like I would do this with, you know, Richard Grove a lot, and you and I. And I'm like, then what? Okay, now what? We know. I know. Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? I need solutions, man. But, you know, it's great to have a lot of people such as yourself that articulate how these details and who these people are is important, and how it affects your life, and that it's not going to stop. These guys are not going to stop. It's not going to get better. It is going to get to the point that something's going to break them, us, something. Now, if they wanted to have their own smart city of plug the matrix cord in the back of your head, pace. You know, as long as you voluntarily comply, I want player one headset, and leave me alone. You go on, girl, man, peace upon thee. Mm-hmm. But the mandate and the force, or even the entity, like the United Nations, who have the ability to force an injection in me, to mandate, to set policy and global kind of, I got a problem with that, you know? So how best to oppose it? You know, as we're getting back on the land, you know, I mean, I don't know what else to do other than advocate, leave me alone. And Passio did say it's going to be property rights. You know, it's going to be kind of, I'm going, good. Yep, I think so too. So what do you think? You know, comment, guys, go beat the crap out of the trolls.
Well, again, when someone asks me what's the solution, I'm tempted to ask them, you know, are you looking for someone else to provide you to in fact, tell you what problem you should be solving and how then to solve it.
Right.
That has to come from you, and you have to come up with what you conceptualize the problem to be. And then, you can look around for help with that, or people's suggestions or ideas. Here's my problem. What do I do about it? If you can't formulate that on your own, then there's a problem right there. And I'd say that's the fundamental layer of this problem. And I think are looking for outside voices to essentially tell them, define the problem for them, and then here's the three-step solution. And I think that's the fundamentally the wrong mindset. So I think the lone wolf-ism isn't just about how you operate or the way that you group or something like that. It's the way you think. If you are thinking in a way that you are requiring someone else to define and then solve your problems for you, that seems to me the fundamental problem layer. Because once you have defined the problem and your vision for the solution, then it is your task to go out and find people that you can cooperate with, collaborate with, get ideas from, whatever the case may be, in order to get that towards that solution. But if you're incapable of that, then good luck. You know, peace be upon
you. I saw
you.
The internet from 93. It was 92, 93. I got my first email account. In fact, somebody, an activist, got it for me. And they go, no, you got to be on that. And I shared it with two other guys. You know, it was at the Maricopa County Libertarian Party headquarters. And I just, you just make sure you put your name up top so I don't get in trouble from your crap, you know, that kind of thing. And then it eventually became mine. But it was amazing that how many people of great intellect and thought and deep opinions that would be backed up, that would help you with anything. It was amazing. And a lot of it was Second Amendment groups, you know, because you always wound up there on Bill of Rights stuff, and libertarians. And the libertarian groups, they were awesome. But then came the trolls, then the infiltration, then now that's automated and it's just bots. So it's effective, and I know how effective it is in molding people's opinions, in them coming to the truth, because that, oh my God, was a goal of theirs. They came on not knowing, wanting to know the truth of stuff, or why would you have gone on the internet? You just sit there and watch ABC. So it was fascinating to watch it happen and how much I got out of it and could contribute. Then it was clear, you know, there were different stages. Like by 98 to 2002, there was kind of, you could see it coming. 2002, then definitely by 2004, that's when the full press started coming, you know. And then 2009, after the Levolution, then it really got serious, and they haven't let up on the accelerator since then. So I could see the power of this. I don't do social media. I don't. Donna posts, does, well, I don't care, you know. How much do you do on social media?
Yeah, it's a good question. Maybe, yeah, we should get someone involved in this conversation who is like raw social media. I definitely am not. I had an email recently from someone saying, why aren't you on Noster? Noster's where it's at. It's decentralized. It's, you know, it's in accord with your principles, and it's the great place Bastion, where there's a lot of people looking for you.
Matrix,
and I got to the
Doctor,
point.
Where, Discord, I've heard them all, man.
Sure, right, yeah, exactly, Nerd. Exactly. But I got to the point where I'm like, okay, you know, I have talked about Noster. I did a decentralized communications podcast, and I did talk about it. And I'm like, well, maybe I should, okay, you know, why not look into it? And I was really researching what are the best, you know, apps and platforms to use for this and blah, blah, blah. And then I got to the point of, well, why? I don't have any interest whatsoever in social media. I'm not looking to find friends on the internet or have conversations on the internet. I'd prefer to have real life human being friends.
Don't you need positive affirmation? And gosh darn it, people like it.
It's just not what I'm looking for. So yeah, I'm definitely not a social media guy. I realize now, like, yeah, there's nothing that I'm looking for on Twitter or Facebook or what have you. The only thing I would ever use those platforms for is to put out my work. Hey, here's a podcast I did. Here's what I think about this.
Right. You know, I don't enjoy the time suck. I mean, you know, I don't have a TikTok, but everybody's sending me TikToks. Sometimes I get to watch them. Sometimes, oh, you got to register. That ain't happening. Okay. So I guess I don't see it because I don't care. But the time suck, that even on YouTube Shorts or something, you know, you get in there, you know, it's just, you know, all of a sudden it's an hour later. And of course it's by design. I mean, you know, that was the reason why they do it. But
not even just the time suck, but the directing of your attention to certain things, because I definitely noticed that. I was on Twitter for a few years there, 2012 or something to 2018, whatever it was. And I remember noticing the sorts of things that were trending or popping on Twitter that people were talking about. And then I'd go to try to talk to say it to my audience or to people who aren't on Twitter, and they would have just no reference, no idea what's going on. I'd be like, oh yeah, their Twitter's kind of the bubble. And if you're not in that bubble, you have no idea what this incredibly important news that everyone is talking about is. And now that I've been off Twitter again for several years, I definitely see it. You can tell when someone is on Twitter and they talk about, oh, this thing on Twitter that everyone's talking about. And I'm like, I've never heard of that. And occasionally I'll dip in to see, you know, this or that Twitter profile and what's happening online. And there's all these things that I'm sure I would be involved in and thinking about and talking about if I was on Twitter, but I'm not, so that I just do not relate to it in any way. And that's one of the most insidious things, is the kind of the bubble of community that is created around these apps and things that, hey, sometimes, sure, you can find important information that you should probably know about, but there are other times, you know, what is this trending topic that everyone's talking about? What, why, how did this get seeded into this little community, and why is everyone talking and thinking about it? And then you get the finger waggers. Why aren't you talking about this thing that everyone's talking about?
You got to think about this and think this about that. I mean, you know. Yep. So there's a, you know, we have a lot of audience that sends a lot of the stuff that we put up is audience generated. You know, they'll send me stuff and I go, damn, that is kind of cool. Okay, I'll put that up since you went through the effort. You know, I probably wouldn't have done it myself, but yeah, I can see why you're interested. So it gives the page, you know, a wide radar screen. So I don't mind, you know, that's a pro-Palestinian. Yeah, bite me. And there's a pro-Israel one over there. So get over it, you know. The thing that I see that people are enticed by more than anything else is, I don't know. It's pretty widespread, but it's always in opposition to what somebody said about something more than whatever the something is. And I see that as a tactic. That seems robot generated. That seems like just time wasting.
Yeah. Exactly. In a sense, I agree with you. Even if it isn't robot generated, it's algorithmically generated. And how did the algorithms get trained? It got trained by people. And people,
what do they forward?
It's just, it is a fact of life. What is it they say? That great people, great minds think about ideas. Simple minds think about events and stupid people think about people or something. Whatever it is that how that phrase goes. And I think there's something to it. The basic, the most basic level in which you can hook as many people as possible is to personalize it and make it gossipy in some way. So it's not about an idea, some sort of philosophical conversation. It's not even about a specific event. It's about the person who's talking about that event. And then once you personalize it to that level, you can have all sorts of flame wars between people. But yeah, that's, and unfortunately, I think, we could blame it on bots and like psyops warriors, but it plays on people, people's natural psychology and the way that most humans are
wired.
Okay,
let me ask you this. I can see that that's a tactic and it may, you know, have some benefit that they, them, those are doing whatever to distract you and get you to think this about that, made you look of whatever. But, you know, I get the feeling that over time, even my kids, my daughters, they all, nope, we closed our Facebook app. Nope, we deleted whatever. Nope, we're not the kids. Not. We'll give them their tablet and they can do this. But, you know, that's it. Only 15 minutes. You know, that kind of crap.
Yeah.
So I go, why? They go, because it just made me feel like crap. I couldn't sleep. Yep. I was up at night. I'm blue-faced. Not talking to my husband. I mean, that kind of thing. So,
But what age range are you talking about there? Your kids? So we're talking middle age?
Well, they started getting off after they started having children.
Yeah,
you know, so then they're 20s.
Right? Yeah.
And they can
once
see
you reach
how
a
much
certain
it...
level at a certain point, and now you're thinking about it as a potential threat to your children, and you start to see the world in a different way.
Well, the
way,
biggest
but also...
threat was them being time taken away from their children.
Yeah.
You know, they were like, well, this is not good. Yep. I vote not. Yep. So they had a moral.
And I had that experience, too. One of the things when I was quitting Twitter, I remember being at the park with my children playing in the park once, and I didn't even think about it. Got the little fondle slab and took a look at my Twitter feed. And I remember consciously stopping myself and going, what am I doing? Why did I do that? It wasn't even a conscious thought. It was just habit, right? That is truly the insidious part of that. But yeah, I think also maybe your children have the benefit of having grown up, at least in their childhood, a world where it wasn't this 24/7 telescreen everywhere.
Yeah.
Exactly. But what about their children who are growing up in this totally connected wired world?
Okay, that was going to build up to my...
never know what real life is actually about.
That was the build up to my question. Because my question is, those of us that, like my kids are the last generation to have grown up without a tablet in their face. Okay. They are going to be, not a really good test bed for, you know, their kids, but what I'm looking at is they learned or discerned on their own, and a lot of people have, either by have not experienced before, or maybe they grew up with tablets in their face, and they just made the Jordan Peterson read his book decision of, you know, I'm going to clean my room or something, you know, that this is not helping me, that, you know, playing video games. I'm recently talking to a friend's daughter in her late 20s, you know, she's a great kid, but she spends at least 5 hours a day playing video games, you know, I have friends online and can, you know, 15 states away kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. What does the word friend even mean anymore?
Right. You know, Tim's your friend, You know, the I remember the guy, what was it, Tom, on MySpace. He was everybody's first friend, you know? And then Murdoch bought that for like $380 million.
Now Rupert's your first friend.
I'm sorry?
Now Rupert Murdoch is your first friend.
Well, you know, the thing was, is he bought, wait, what the heck? This is going down. It's going to Facebook anyway. And I'm thinking, he's buying the data. You know, are you kidding me?
Everybody's,
and that's when you were able to post whatever song, movie, quote, book, whatever. You know, they got a full
dose. Think about what MySpace was like. You could customize your little page in a million ways, so everyone's page looked crazy and weird and completely unique. And now we've got these standardized forms where everything looks exactly identical, and you can't customize anything. That speaks a lot to the sort of mindset of the way the internet has been taken over.
My question is, what do you think is going to happen as the detriments of this blue face? I keep calling my granddad, I go, man, don't get blue face on me. And I don't want to be, be blue face around me, because they always got their blue face and their something. So they're pretty good about it, you know, especially around me and grandma. Hey, man, I'm visiting. Put that damn thing down. So, but only a couple of the older ones have them. You know, younger kids don't. But do you think we're going to evolve out of that and start to go look at pretty flowers, or are we destined to be automatons brainwashed by the device? Or, you know, what do you think is going to happen?
Hello?
Did you hear my question?
I heard the beginning of it. So,
what do you think is going to happen? You know, we have these devices, and a lot of people are just kind of evolving or growing past them. Where we have this generation coming in now, will they be able to do that, or are they just going to segue straight to a chip in their brain?
That's the question. I wish I could say I was hopeful about that. At least it is a possibility, right? There is a possibility that nothing is set in stone, and there could be a great reject that comes along of saying, hell no, we don't need this. But I'm not holding my breath for that, because unfortunately, I think it is harder and harder to escape. It is a web. They call it the web for a reason, and it really does stick you in there. And hey, look, I'm not going to lecture from a high horse about this. I am an online media personality. Yeah. I spend a lot of time online researching and doing this stuff. And then when I'm not online researching, I'm in front of a camera talking about it to people who are online, right? So I am definitely a part of this beast system.
It's all your fault,
the way
man.
That it's functioning. What is the answer to this? Yeah, I would love to see some sort of great movement of people like, hey, we don't need this. But
they always go after centralized movements every freaking time.
At the very least, perhaps the technology could be designed in a way that is more human. And here's something. Next time you watch, say, an old episode of Star Trek or Star Trek Next Generation, look at that mindset. So even, okay, Next Generation, 1990s, right? This is early 1990s vision of 2300 or whatever. And they're walking around. Look at the way that they interact with their computers and their systems. Because the one thing that sticks out these days is like, yeah, why isn't everyone just constantly, you know, have some sort of telescreen or tablet or something in their ears and eyes at all times, and they're just talking to each other face-to-face mostly, and if they have to push their communicator button in order to have a conversation kind of thing. But, yeah, that's not the way the future is going to be, because we know you're just going to have chips and you're going to be automatically talking to people and in your head and whatever.
Telepathy.
But, no, maybe that would be an alternative vision for the future, where the technology truly is this other thing that exists out there, and yes, you can access it, but most people are actually engaged in real human contact most of the time.
You know, that was one of the Next Generation movies. That was Insurrection, I think it was. It was where that planet, you know, the technological people that knew what a positronic brain was, but they went out in the field and grew their own whatever, because they didn't want technology to take away from their, you know, humanity or whatever. You know, so they already did it. Somebody wrote it.
Amish.
Space Amish.
Well, no, I mean, it's an idea, right?
Space Amish.
Why not?
You know, what's next time, what kind of homework assignment do you think we should be working on? Because I'm thinking we need to, you know, something. There's something wicked this way here. I'm not sure what to focus on over the next couple of weeks. Kind of keep, you know.
You know, I like your Four Horsemen idea there. Something there.
Yeah. Let's do that. The Four Horsemen, because I'm feeling something wicked this way's here, man. I mean, we see it. You know, it's the CBDC, of course. That's like a thing, and social credit scores, and social and economic engineering, and making you sick, and pandemic, and war, and rumors of wars, and their mushroom clouds going to show up somewhere, and yeah, blah. I'm not surprised. And here comes the aliens. I mean, that'll be a thing. So yeah, it's just they're not going to stop. So I'm just how to insulate you from, and a lot of it is a spiritual thing. You know, a lot of people of faith go, whatever, get in line with all the other bad guys.
But then there are the other people of faith who are like, hey, bring it on, end times, yay.
Well, a lot of these guys are the elite people trying to bring on Armageddon so they get their great reset or whatever,
Yeah, and, exactly, right.
So this is, thanks for coming on. I feel better. I don't know why. When I talk to you, it's just like somebody else sees it.
Yeah, it's just good to talk to like-minded people sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not trying to convince you anything. We just share, but it's getting serious. I talking to family and friends back in Arizona, and the only way that I put it is I just say I feel like I'm in a race and I'm behind. We got to get going. So,
feel that more and more. Yeah.
You've been doing a lot of stuff. We've been getting, we're probably going to be better than most, but then that's when they come after you,
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're semi-ready. You're not allowed to be ready,
Right.
Or an inspiration for damn sure.
And I always think it's always some curveball that you were not expecting. It's always some totally different angle from some other direction that,
nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Exactly. Who knows? That might be part of the cards.
That's part of our activist thing. Was you always hit them from an unexpected, perpendicular, but relevant direction.
Yeah.
They didn't see that coming. They're like, what the hell was that? Well, they do that to us all the time. It's just something.
Yeah.
James Corbett, CorbettReport.com. Thanks for coming on, James. I feel better every time I talk to you. I don't even know why. It's pretty freaking dark.
Hey, it's just good to talk. Let's do it again.
Four Horsemen, 2 weeks. Peace.
All right. Take care, man.
Bye.